Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you all. Welcome to the final edition of Elevated Places Network's Ask Minister Ava for 2021. The next time we're together, Allah willing, it will be 2022. So I bring all of you greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum. I thank you for taking time to be with us on this Thursday evening, and we expect to have a full discussion as we review the events of this horrendous year, 2021, and the protracted, the manufactured protraction of the coronavirus epidemic. But in the interim, we were able to achieve a great deal as the Nation of Islam when you consider all that is going on. But I want to welcome you. I want to welcome our co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, producer, Sister Roma. I'm sorry.
No, I said, well, Lakers Salon was a long pause. I said, well, I just want to say something.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. Where was I? On our executive producer, Sister Rona Muhammad, our legal contributor, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, and all of you who make this program possible and make Elevated Places the place to be each and every Thursday night. Of course, the cover of our current edition of the Final Call newspaper, our January 4th, 2022 edition, which means this is the first issue of the Final Call for 2022. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan makes a statement on the passing of Archbishop Desmond Tutu, the South African cleric who fought to end the racist apartheid rule in his country. He transitioned on the 26th of December at the age of 90. And he was a powerful voice for equality and freedom. And there's a beautiful, beautiful photo of him gracing the cover of the Final Call newspaper, an extensive a coverage of the life and legacy of Bishop Desmond Tutu. And of course, the year 2021 in review, the challenges, growth, and progress for the Nation of Islam, which is the page three story in the current issue. And we can't leave out the powerful content of the section on depopulation, COVID-19 and the depopulation policy and agenda of the United States. We're going to be joined this evening by the national correspondent to the Final Call newspaper, who's been a frequent guest and has brought so much insight to the program as we go through the year in review of the COVID section. And I'm talking about Sister Charlene Muhammad. And we also hope to hear from our dear Sister Donna Muhammad, our moderator of Building Our Own Promised Land, because there's also coverage on page 5 of the Final Call newspaper on the Black progress towards separation and sovereignty. And with that, Brother Terrence Muhammad, my illustrious co-host, I'm tossing you the mic.
Well, what, thank you for the alley. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
no,
ma'am.
I thank you for the thank you for the alley-oop, and it is always a blessing and a wonderful time. And you know, it's an interesting time that is, you know, closing out this calendar year of 2021. And the funny thing about it, Dr. Ava, I've talked to some people and they was like 2020 and 2021 are the same year. So that wasn't a 2021, that was just the extension of 2020, because it doesn't seem like we have moved out of a time warp, because this COVID-19 has put us in a reality world, or a virtual reality of like, what, is this really happening? Does this really exist? Is this really going on? And, you know, so yeah. I would just start for this part is to say, you know, and it's something that I've always said, and I keep saying it, but it gets more and more and more weight and validity, as I said. It should have had the carry the weight when I first said it, but continue to hear, study, revisit, rewatch, re-listen to the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Criterion, July 4th, 2020. July 4th, 2020, the Criterion. And I say that is because as we continue to see, there are so many memes, so many jokes, Dr. Ava, so many people laughing about the CDC, 5 days, 4 days, do whatever you want. Don't listen to us. Do whatever how you do it. Do this. Do that. Don't do that. You should do this. It doesn't matter. We're just going to throw everything out the window. And it's comical, but we had already gotten instructions from the man of God on July 4th for what needs to be done, what will be happening. And as we see the lecture that he did right before the Criterion, the unraveling of a great nation at Savior's Day 2020, and we saw the unraveling, and we're still seeing the unraveling as people are just making joke of the CDC. I mean, the Center for Disease Control, but people are making jokes of that. And I don't know what's going on across other people's cities and states, but I have been hearing, Dr. Ava, I got two people. One person I saw in the hospital, another person told me they had COVID, another person said tested positive, another person in the DMV area, another person in Georgia, a couple of people in North Carolina, other folks are getting sick. People, I mean, it's like, I'm like, did somebody just throw another wave out there? Because people are dropping literally, Dr. Ava, like flies. And I'm like, what in the world? But that's the reality of what the minister said it was, and what this world cannot solve. So I would advise everybody to go back and listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, July 4th address, the Criterion 2020, and get prepared for Savior's Day, his monumental address for Savior's Day, February the 27th in Chicago at Mas Mariam. And with that, as we wanted to get you through this week, tomorrow night we have our study group at 7:30 p.m. Go to NOI.org, and Sunday, the first lecture of the year, you can watch it live from Mas Mariam at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern at NOI.org, and always come on Wednesday to hear good teachings at 7:30 p.m. So we also, and I forgot to say, Habari Ghani, meaning what's the news, is the fifth
day of Kwanzaa, which is Nia, purpose. And we have a divine purpose and a mission that we on this blog talk, and that is Project Separation. And we will continue to push Project Separation, and you can learn all about that at MinisterAva.com. And shout out to all of the sisters. Shout out to all of the sisters that joined Dr. Ava and those that worked so hard behind the scenes to make the master's class a success. And every sister that signed up, that registered, that worked behind the scenes, that helped present, and the sisters, as I've seen, they love the master's class, and it was something phenomenal. You ain't never seen nothing like this before. Dr. Ava just put it all out there for the sisters, and, you know, the feedback is that you all enjoyed it, and we're so happy that you enjoyed this first phase of the master's class with Dr. Ava for sisters only. So wait until what happens in 2022, but continue to follow MinisterAva.com. Continue to go to MinisterAva.com. And as you mentioned, our brother Desmond Tutu, who coincidentally, Dr. Ava, in the city that I'm in and literally the office that I work in, the Beloved Community Center, a lot of the work has been modeled after our brother Desmond Tutu. There's been many meetings here in the States and in South Africa with Desmond Tutu around our truth and reconciliation process. As they did in South Africa, we have a truth and reconciliation process as it relates to the November 3rd, 1979 Klan massacre of people in one of the housing communities in Greensboro, and we actually had set up a truth and reconciliation process authored, you know, by the work of our brother Desmond Tutu, who has been monumental in the movement. As we saw the Centerfold giving to and by words from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for the passing of our brother. So go to finalcalldigital.com, finalcalldigital.com to get your subscription of the Final Call newspaper and to learn more about it. So, you know, we're going to wrap this year up, and, you know, I'm kind of excited because I got a good favorite, one of our favorite rappers, Mad Skills, always on January 1st. Around that time, he does a year-end review of rapping. So we're going to kind of go through this year, Dr. Ava, and have a great discussion with our callers about this year of 2021, which was, like I said, 2020 extended. Back to you, Dr. Ava.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Terrence. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about tonight. And, yes, the CDC has once again made some revisions. In truth, the time they're allocating now is what it should have been all along.
Exactly.
Because viral infection universally has a window. A person is most highly infectious and transmissible 2 days prior to the onset of symptoms and 2 days beyond the onset of symptoms. It doesn't mean you won't be sick anymore. What they're dealing with is the ability of the virus to transmit.
That's right.
One thing we don't need to become biologists, but it might be wise, since this thing is lingering so long as the minister stated it would, it wouldn't hurt to Google the characteristics of viruses and get a little bit of understanding independent of the CDC. We have a lot of scientists that the Nation of Islam Research Group relies upon, and they've been saying this from the beginning. Now, of course, what the CDC also said, they just said the number of days of isolation is, remember, it was 14, then it was 10, and now it's 5. We have to keep in mind a great part of this entire situation is behavioral control.
That's right.
The ability to get the population to obey instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And so the draconian measures of 14 days, which most people, if they're blessed to have a job, they don't have 14 days to take off from that job and just sit in their house. And so what has happened is that the multinational corporations that run the airline industry, that run the professional sports arms, the very, very wealthy, powerful entities have gotten fed up with losing workers, losing players' availability because of a positive test. Remember, the tests are what drives the numbers. Now, that doesn't mean people are not getting ill. The question is, what is it that's making people ill? That's the question.
Right.
It's certainly not Omicron that's killing. If people are dropping, as you indicated, it's not from Omicron. There's been one death in the United States attributed directly to the Omicron variant. So going back to the up and down of the CDC, at one point they said Omicron accounts for 73% of all of the COVID cases. Then they moonwalked on that and said, oh, it's 59% of the cases. And actually it's the Delta variant that is causing the hospitalizations and the deaths, which the deaths have plummeted regardless. What's causing the problem is the vaccine. The vaccines are the problem. A study was just released that 93% of people who died after getting vaccinated died from getting vaccinated. 93%, 9 out of 10. And we're well above an acknowledged number of deaths of 20,000 people. We need to stay on top of the problem of comorbidities and preconditions.
That's right.
Because you're going to find if people get hospitalized, they have some other issues.
That's
almost
right.
A guarantee. That's a guarantee. And if you look up the symptoms of the Omicron variant, which the South African doctors who found it stated, it lines up side by side with the flu. By the way, there's a rise in the flu this season.
That's
which
right.
Is another thing we have to talk about. Yeah, that had disappeared, but now for different reasons. And now the flu is back with a vengeance in some parts of the country. So we thank Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. If you have not been able to go out, or if your city, they did not hand out the little postcards we made, the two-sided card that has everything you need to get through any viral infection should you contract it, and you probably will since Omicron is highly contagious. It's highly contagious. It's mild and it's contagious, and those two usually go hand in hand. Those traits of a variant. And so you can contract this at the drop of a hat. So it is so critical that we follow How to Eat to Live Volumes 1 and 2. Make sure that, as Minister Farrakhan had said, whenever we do eat, whatever days we eat, we should eat a bowl of bean soup. It doesn't have to be a big bowl. You know, I got some people that say, oh, I ain't into it like that. Nobody's asking you, are you into it like that? First of all, unless somebody is completely incompetent, it's very tasty. It's very delicious. But if you just eat a cup, a cup
right.
of bean soup, if you're eating daily, eat one every day. If you're eating every other day, eat one. Eat the soup when you do eat. bean soup contains negative electrical charge that has everything to do with fighting off any pathogen or anything else that the Caucasian has out here. We don't want to get so obsessed with the virus that we think white people aren't still killing us in a multitude of ways. Remember, the minister said the punishment of the pestilence is that which we relied upon for our sustenance turns against us. He didn't say there would be bodies in the street. He said what we've been relying on will turn against us. It's what his teacher said in the fall of America. Message to the black man, our Savior has arrived. These people can't take care of themselves. They're unraveling. And so black people, Brother Ridgely has an article in the upcoming Final Call. I'm going to give a little sneak preview into it tonight. We wanted him on, but he is loading trucks for the staple goods program, which we should support. But we just have to keep in mind that it's not a matter of becoming obsessed with contracting it, especially something this contagious. It's a matter of you building up and protecting your immune system. You're designed by Allah to go out, get fresh air, and take in small amounts of viruses and bacteria. That's how you build immune system. This is why children, you know, they eat dirt. They put worms in their mouth, okay?
That's right.
They fall down and get mud in their mouth. They make mud pies, okay?
That's real.
This is how their immune system builds. And so if you've got your face covered up outdoors, not indoors, outdoors, while you're out walking or running or exercising, you're depriving yourself of the most essential thing your body requires, which is air. And you're made to inhale and exhale. And so if you sit in your house 24/7, then you're actually going to have a weakened system when you do come out. And so
we have
to be watchful of these things. You know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has flown his laborers in. Yeah, we don't want to get spooky. You see the FOI out every issue of the Final Call. They're out with the paper. They wear their masks because they have close contact with people. Okay?
That's right.
And so they're out there. They're not locked in their house. They're outside soldiering. In case you all missed the memo, the mosque opened back up.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, we observe the spacing. We observe the mask wearing. But
yes,
we're
we
open
That's right.
for business.
That's right.
We're open for business. So we have to not get spooky and irrational, but at the same time, we do have to be careful. But you can, you know, a brick can fall on your head and kill you. You know, cancer virtually wiped out my family. Cancer, the second cause of death in the United States. Number one killer is heart disease. It still is. All right, so COVID is number seven. What's the other six above it? What are we doing about those? Diabetes is a pandemic. Look it up. Go on WHO, the World Health Organization. It is a global pandemic. And so how to eat to live, and I need to practice what I preach more, but even with my overweight self, the fact that I don't partake of swine, scavenger, flesh, drink alcohol, take drugs, run the streets. You know, if we do any part of this incredible body of teachings, it separates us from the pack. And we just have to stay as vigilant as we can to the program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I quote him from the card we put out that was actually designed by Sister Donna Muhammad and approved by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, if we eat the proper food at the proper time, the food will keep us living a long, long time. And so our God-given immune system is our best defense, not only against coronavirus, but against any invader, any pathogen that comes at our body. We are the tribe of Shabazz. So let's not forget about separation. Let's not forget about making our own communities a safe and decent place to live. And let's not forget the number one thing that he said in the criterion with regard to the virus and its variants. He said the solution is repentance. So you can wear 100 masks. You can take ivermectin by the bottle and your D3 and your C and your quercetin and your zinc. But if you and I are not repenting, then all of it is for naught. It's all for naught. But we have found to be characterized as a miracle medication in ivermectin found in Japan.
Come on.
Where the mother plane was built. And you can't find ivermectin source anywhere else on the planet. And it has proven to be effective, overwhelmingly effective, against the coronavirus, whether it's a preventative, at-home treatment in the hospital or at the advanced stage. Ivermectin, in most cases, is going to get it done, along with black seed oil, along with making sure you gargle with an antiseptic gargle mouthwash. So if you do make contact with this virus, if you are gargling daily, the virus stays around in the throat for a few days, you know, before it travels on to do more harm. So we ought to be going after it at the point of entry. So you want to use the antiseptic gargle mouthwash. And, of course, good nutrition, sun to the extent you can get it, fresh air, exercise. Vitamin D3 is crucial. Vitamin D3 is emerging, and that's the sunshine vitamin. It's emerging as a key factor in putting down this virus. Almost everyone that died from coronavirus had a vitamin D deficiency. Vitamin C, which helps your cells produce interferon. Quercetin and zinc, all of these things work together. But we're not without guidance. He said there are 14 treatments in the world that we can use to fight this. Well, he put the research team on those 14 therapies. And what we came out of it with is what I just read to you. Ivermectin, vitamin D3, vitamin C, quercetin, and zinc. And then, you know, black folks, we have our little teas and concoctions that have worked for us for eons of time.
That's right.
We know what works for us. You go in your kitchen and hook it up, put it together. I'm a big fan of tea tree oil. I'll make a tea tree oil tea in a heartbeat. It's antiviral, and it goes right after it. But it doesn't mean I can't contract, and most of us probably had it by now after 2 years.
That's right.
But 85% of the people don't even feel anything from it. Might get a headache, runny nose. But we have
Come
to
on.
Protect our elders.
That's
because
right.
Because the largest number of deaths has always been 65 and up. This disease is virtually non-existent in people under 30. When you get to children, it's so rare, it doesn't even read on a graph. And they're jabbing our children with this deadly vaccine. When we have all of this array of natural remedies, due to Allah, we've researched it, we found it. Some of our doctors are using these treatment protocols. But let's not forget about faith. Let's not forget about we are members of the tribe of Shabazz.
That's right.
We're the originator kids. We don't die, we multiply. And I
that's,
use the
that's
word
exactly
kids
right.
Because that's the baby gum. But we're the descendants of the self-created God. And as the minister said to the Nubian Leadership Circle the other week, he said, some of you are so afraid of this coronavirus, you're running to get vaccinated. But Allah doesn't fear his creation. His creation fears him and bows to him. And if we're in submission to Allah, then his creation and his created things will bow to us. So anyway, I've yacked and yacked, but we've got our callers lining up, Brother Terrence. And before we go further into the tonight's program on the year in review, you know we have to hear from our very busy and brilliant legal contributor, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum,
right.
Sister Pamela.
Wa alaykum salam, Sister Ava, and wa alaykum salam, Brother Terrence. And all praises are due to Allah, Sister Ava. Thank you for those kind words. And I must say I'm so thankful to Allah for just you being an example and just giving us that firm message that you just gave us. That was beautiful. We needed to hear it. And as always, Brother Terrence, you know, thank you as well. But, yes, so I wanted to start off the legal report that I generally do. I want to announce that there was a conviction, as everyone may have heard, on December the 29th of this lady, Jelaine Maxwell, I believe is her name, and she was actually tried in federal court, and she was tried actually, it hinged on the accusations of four women, teenage girls, who are allegedly sexually exploited. And she was actually tried. The trial focused on six counts. And this is an AP News report that I'm taking this from. They say she was tried on the counts of conspiracy to entice minors to engage in illegal sex acts, enticement of a minor to travel to engage in illegal sex acts, conspiracy to transport minors with the intent to engage in criminal sexual activity, transportation of minors with intent to engage in criminal sexual activity, sex trafficking conspiracy, and then the final count was a sex trafficking of a minor. And I believe she was convicted, found guilty on five of the six counts. And so, again, that's Jelaine Maxwell in a high-profile federal trial. We didn't see much of it on television, but she was convicted. And, Sister Ava, I wanted to say from last week, I just had to bring out one point regarding Kim Potter, who was found guilty of the manslaughter of our brother Dante Wright. It's so interesting. We got to make sure that the listeners understand, because they keep talking about how this case was an accident. And, okay, but the point is this. She was actually charged with making an accident. You know, the state actually conceded that element. She was charged with a somewhat of accidentally killing him. So it's not something that she proved. You know, we're saying, you know, sometimes you have to prove that it, you know, it's an accident. So, again, that was something that was conceded. And so she was never even, she never even had to really prove whether or not it was an accident.
Wow.
What happened is they conceded it was an accident, but she was just being reckless. So, you know, and just going on, I think the year in review, our brother Michael Z. Muhammad did an excellent article entitled, that article is Few Gains Amid a Frustrating Year in Criminal Justice. It's in this week's Final Call, and especially when talking about criminal justice reform. And of course, we know the Derek Chauvin conviction. But we also know that there was just a real lack of accountability. We know that the practices of the killer cops, this is just something that continues to be in the news with a 14-year-old girl, I think, being murdered a couple of days. A lot of the legislation, especially with some of this policing act, that didn't happen, the failure to pass the George Floyd Justice in Politics. And one of the things I said in the article, you know, our brother attorney Abdul Arif Muhammad pointed to the 13th Amendment and the, you know, incarceration and how that's just a continuation of slavery. But I also noted that there has been an increase in hate crimes against black people. And so that's not something that I think we see as much in the news. I think it's very important. I mean, many of us, we know this, but it's actually documented. And so, you know, that's the year in political criminal. No, it was a MSNBC report that I think they said it was a 40% increase since 2019 against black people. And they went on to talk about some of the other groups, but theirs was very, very minimal compared to the increase in hate crimes against black people that had been noted. So, but yes, ma'am. So as I'm listening, I wanted to say, you know, I'm so thankful for the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you know, and making sure that we were fed, because in these times, it's just, it can be so dark, but these teachings, the life-giving teachings. And so with that, I wanted to tell everyone that I was able to go to a town hall meeting, a separation town hall meeting that was held in Greenville, Mississippi. And their topic was a panel discussion on defining separation, sovereignty, nationhood. This was actually a part two of an earlier panel, which Sister Minister Ava had been on the panel earlier in the year when we did a virtual panel, but this one we did in person. So I got to travel the back roads of the country, and I just have to say it was so relaxing. You know, I pray a lot, my immune system is good, and I feel wonderful, but just really getting out of the house and seeing the open fields and the birds and the space, it was so beautiful. And some of the people that were there, older people, women who may have retired or are corporate women who live in that area and they had relocated to that area, they said, you know what, it's the traffic for me. They said it's the lack of traffic in these smaller towns like a Greenville, Mississippi, where you have over 70% black people population, they say, you know, there's no traffic. And so we in these big cities, we can definitely bear witness that that's probably a very enjoyable to not have to have all this clutter. But some of the things they talked about this time, they really wanted to focus, the Greenville LOC focused on the national agenda. The national agenda, which is from the 2000-2008 Million Family March public policy. And they talked about focusing on marriage and family, education, youth, law and justice, racial profiling. And, you know, one of the things we made clear is that separation is really for our survival, Sister Ava. I quoted you, quoting the minister, I think, by saying that as long as we live with whites, you know, we'll be under them because they manufacture. We'll live under them,
yes,
right?
Yes,
and especially the part about how the manufactured false reality that is built on a doctrine of white superiority and black inferiority. And it was really important because we had a lot of youth there. And so we really wanted to empower the black family. That was the public affair policy, that agenda that was really being pushed, empowering black families and letting these youth know that the false media perceptions that they see, that's part of an agenda. That's, you know, trying to make them feel inferior. Some of the topics were homeschooling. Some of the people who were in the audience really wanted to talk about the reality of independent education and our children being taught what they need, you know, to be the rulers. We talked about governing ourselves. It was just really beautiful black women there who were feeding. One was a college professor. She was feeding the black children about doing films and telling their stories and actually showing what they want to see freedom as. We talked about talent. There were some people there, some young people who were walking on stilts and just really showing the beauty of black self-determination when we're by ourselves. Because, again, and I'm going to close on this, but when you look at these smaller towns like a Greenville, they're talking about how to push themselves out in the forefront and be self-determined. They don't have to, because they're already black politics, black politicians. We had several black people there. So they're talking about, you know, really moving forward and really trying to go after governorships and having political agendas that they can sit at these actual city council places and really push forward. And so I wanted to let them know that, you know, black people are interested in the farming. We were able, again, I just want to say this as the last thing, we were able to give people concrete examples such as your show. I didn't mention the show. I just forgot, but I knew all of the topics. It's like, oh, yeah, that's because you get it from the separation show that you and Sister Donna do, when we can talk about Stonecrest, Georgia. We can talk about Hereafter Farms. We can talk about all these black people that are actually starting their own farms. Just very uplifting. The minister from Jackson, Mississippi, was there, and he talked about the need for unity. There was a question out of the audience about whether we can work together, you know, talking about the separate agendas. And, you know, we pointed him to the minister, you know, what he did with the Nubian Circle. And the minister in Jackson said, we need to start trusting each other, you know, and put away the jealousy and envy. So it was just a really great, great event in the country. And I wanted to share it because it was just very uplifting to kind of step away from that whole media frenzy and the whole just in the box. And I'm thankful I got a chance to do a little, little work on separation myself. So that was just really uplifted my spirit. And that's what I wanted to share. So thank you so much for the time.
That's awesome.
And the, yes, all praises are due to Allah. Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
No, well, alaikum salam, and stay with us on the panel because you're talking into the tonight's subject, which is a year in review. and the Greenville, Mississippi town hall, the virtual and now the real one, these were part of our movement forward. And I want to go ahead and segue into hearing from the sister who has been leading Project Separation. I call it 2.0, and she has named it Building Our Own Promised Land. We're done with teaching the concept and hoping people understand, because there's enough black people that desire to do this, that have returned to a measure of consciousness. But as you reminded us, that I always repeat from the minister, as long as we live with white people, we will live under white people, that we're going to only go so far until we leave them in terms of advancement. And I think that's the biggest impediment right now, is this wait and see posture that some of our people are taking, even among our faith community. They're taking this posture that we're not ready yet. You know, but that's like being held hostage by a kidnapper and the door kicks open and your security team comes to free you and you say, wait a minute, there's a couple of things I need to do before I can handle being free and independent again. I mean, it's just irrational. It's just irrational. But we've got our beloved sister Donna Muhammad on the line, and I'm still giddy from Mayor Larry of Stonecrest, Georgia, being on last week, the last Tuesday of this month, to really close out the year, a man who actually did it. You know, he came, he saw, and he conquered. And he's actually living the program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So, assalamu alaikum, Sister Donna, and glad to have you with us, your family members. So I'm not going to linger. We just open up the mic.
Okay. Wa alaikum salam to you and to everybody on the Elevated Places programming team that I love so much and I'm in such awe and admiration of, and am grateful that there is this program that has intellectual discourse provided to us every Thursday on a higher level amidst all the garbage that's out there.
Mm.
This platform It's not that. I mean, because literally I was thinking about an article I saw where this woman was kicked off a plane for breastfeeding a cat. And I'm like, see, this is the kind of bulletin.
What?
That's out there.
Oh.
Whoa.
So
okay.
Thursday.
Foul on the plane.
Get me up off the floor. Oh, God.
This is okay. Who
the heck out of here?
Yeah, let me send the article. But so this is a cleansing to the palate. You know, when you come on Elevated Places and listen to the type of dialogue that's happening here, you know, to offset that. But I did want to make a minor correction. It was actually Brother Cardian who came up with the wonderful title "Building Our Promised Land." And he is absolutely the co-moderator with boots on the ground of Project Separation. So I just wanted to make sure that he was the one that came up with that title.
You.
Yes, ma'am. And I want to thank Project Separation. Oh my God, he's all over the place physically, and he is coming up with, what he's going to show forth. Really soon is phenomenal, because his mind is there. He's a real nuts and bolts kind of person, and his wheels are always turning, and so it's really going to be exciting. But I wanted to real quick, before I just kind of go into a recap of Project Separation, for 2021, I wanted to share this because you were talking about COVID and you were talking about how we're responding and reacting. And recently, we know that at the beginning, diabetes was one of the comorbidity factors, right? Had a high comorbidity factor. Well, there's this popular medication called metformin that people take for diabetes, and it just recently, they did a larger recall of it. They had a recall, but they did a larger recall because, and this is why it's so critical for us, as Brother Terrence always says, go back and listen to the criterion when a minister talks about their treacherous history. It's recall because it contains in high levels of NDMA, which is a carcinogen and a known environmental contaminant.
Give it. Well, you can.
For diabetes.
Because I need to get it. Yes, I was going to ask you to spell it all again, but you can text me because I want to get into that. See, here we go.
Yes, ma'am, I'll send you the press release on the recall from their site. And the thing is, but they're telling the patients, you know, but don't stop taking it because it's dangerous for you just to come off toxic position. So they're saying don't come off. But we're talking about diabetes, whereas the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gives us a negative proposition that completely takes us out of the need for diabetic medication, that removes from us any concern of carcinogens, when he says, stay off starchy foods and sweets and how to eat to live until we are clear. But so this is a known contaminant, carcinogen in nature, but stay on it. But don't get off. Just tell patients, don't get off of it because it'll be dangerous to you to get off. So and so I'm thinking about that in terms of, you know, the hype, as you said, on COVID, and that's not focusing on our own systems. So I just wanted to share that briefly as a precursor. And yet another reason why we are going forward with separation. Why we have to.
Come on. Please.
Why we have to. I mean, there's so many reasons that there's no reason not to. And then I wanted to bring up the definition of sovereignty, as you brought up the title of the article by Sister Nisa on separation.
On.
Some of the definitions of sovereignty. One is freedom from external control. Autonomy, what we're dealing with now. Another definition is controlling the influence. But what really stood out to me was the third definition, which is obsolete now. But this obsolete definition is supreme excellence or an example of it. But they don't use that anymore. Supreme excellence.
Oh, my God.
Or an example of it. So what is more supreme than what Allah, who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, has set up and designed for us in the way of separation so that we can get back right with ourselves, so that the title is so appropriate for the article. But just to recap and not take much time, of course we know that Project Separation, Building Our Promised Land, or Project Separation 2.0 comes on the heels of those presentations that were held for 2 years around the country and with your team, including your illustrious producer, Sister Ronan, as a producer of those programs too, and they were phenomenal. And who knew that COVID was going to hit and that 2020 in Detroit would be the last in-person one for the time.
Ooh.
It culminated there in our Mecca.
Think about it.
And we were planning on going to Mississippi because
right before that,
it was down in Coldwater, Mississippi. Number 19 was in Coldwater, Mississippi. And there was plans to go on a Mississippi tour. In fact, one of the mayors, the mayor of Jonestown, Mississippi, who's black, as are a lot of mayors in Mississippi, he had requested, he was present at the town hall meeting in Coldwater, Mississippi, and he had asked the student minister there, the student coordinator, Brother James there, please have her come to Coldwater. So this is the mayor requesting to bring a project separation program to Coldwater. So look at the influence that can be exerted when you have a mayor calling for it to come to his people. And Mississippi is dotted with a lot of townships with black mayors. They just don't have the resources there, but we have it. So, you know, but a lot of the best knower, and that didn't take place yet. But we moved to the virtual platform. And in that virtual platform, there's been a highlighting of different people who are, because it became known that as building our promise land, because now we want to show it's happening. This is happening in real time. It's a process that's taking place, and I just encourage everybody to go read that final call article that deals with not only what we've presented on the platform, but what people are doing around the country. And so we can kind of stop asking, well, when are we going to be told at state, or when are we going to do this? No, it's happening now. It's a process that's happening now. And if we do, as you have said, overpopulated areas, it becomes ours. We take control of that colony. But we have featured the sisters that started the Georgia Freedom Initiative, which was the 19 families that bought the acreage down in Tunesboro, Georgia. We've had our principal farmer, Patrick, and his wife, Mr. Ishtar, who gave us so much valuable information. We even have a black dairy. We have dairy farms. We have a dairy farm, which blew me away. And we learned so much about milk and the science of why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we could live for a long time off pure milk and bread. I mean, it's informational. We're not just talking about only the land, but everything that goes along with it. So there's been many different people. We're encompassing all of the 9 ministries as laid out by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at 10-10-15. And so the program is cycling through those 9 ministries as well, hitting on each one of them. And, of course, the highlight up until this point to close out the year was Mayor Jason Larry in Stonecrest, Georgia. But we want people to see this not as just a program to watch, but intentional movement, intentional direction. Yeah. And that is coming to fruition because the sister did reach out about, oh, I need to know. I want to buy some land. I want some direction. So it's such a blessing that she reached out to Project Separation to get that information that shows that there's an impact being made. So, you know, it's only going to be bigger and better in 2022. And I believe we're going to start seeing more masses of people because we're identifying areas now. As Brother Cardi always says, once you really start identifying areas, people can start that movement towards that direction. So we've identified areas. So the movement now has to start, and the resources are there, the people to talk to, and we haven't even touched the surface of all the people that are doing things. Every week I get notifications of this group of people or that group of people who have, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 acres here and there, that we really have to make it a census to come together. And we want people to continue to pass on to us names of individuals or groups or organizations that are doing something so that we can work to highlight them. So it has really been a fruitful year in terms of that. I thank Allah for your trust in myself and Brother Cartier to be the co-moderators of such a critical program, the support team of the Project Separation team, Sister Deanna, Sister Rona, Sister Nisa. I'm just really grateful and encourage everybody to go to projectseparation.com and please review all the videos and share them. Share them around. Talk to people. As Sister Attorney Pamela said, you now have somewhere to point to. You can send people to the place, and they can identify areas. It's something tangible there. So we want to promote that. And I thank you again. And I'm grateful for this wonderful, wonderful platform called Elevated Places. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Oh, that's phenomenal. That's phenomenal.
Oh.
Praise be to Allah. We thank Allah for you, Sister Donna, and your dedication and organizational skills and your ability to reach out into the faith community and beyond and identify for us the overwhelming number of our brothers and sisters that have moved out on that which Allah has called upon us to do, which is to separate. Okay. All right. We're going to take a few callers. Now I'm going to bring in another special guest tonight. But while we're on this subject of separation, no discussion of separation, Brother Terrence, is complete without hearing from the separator, Brother Louis Ali. And after an incredibly successful year with moving point number four of the Muslim program forward, we have to hear from our brother. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Louis.
That's right.
Wa alaykum salam. Dr. Ava Muhammad, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, it's so good to hear y'all. Salam alaykum,
yes.
Brother Terrence. Elevated Place of Staff. It's been quite a year, Dr. Ava, and I really want to thank you so much for putting up the cultural collateral to get us to moving, you know. And black people bought land like never before, and so much has happened during 2021. I could be on the phone all night just talking about the victory. And you know, Dr. Ava, you always say, remember, we're the winners, you know. And so we should be very confident in the God that came in person to deliver us from our enemies and to see that our people are waking up and that we're moving away. This year in 2021, one of the highlights was I was blessed to do a TEDx talk. And one of the things that I mentioned in the TEDx was about black women and our mothers and grandmothers using the ancient science of positive psychological reinforcement, how to motivate black men to build and do something for themselves. The power of your influence, and we witnessed it just a week ago with you always, but Sister Donna, if you go back and you listen to Mayor Larry, at the end of it, in the moment, and Sister Donna don't know what I'm about to say, so this is not rehearsed, but I just got to highlight it. Mayor Larry was down in spirit because he was kind of kicked and bruised a lot of times by Negroes who don't understand what we're trying to do. They can wear you down. And in that moment, Sister Donna, she administered positive psychological reinforcement. You could hear the spirit of God in Sister Donna. And she raised that man's level back up. In fact, he called me afterwards. He said, I don't know what I was thinking about, but I should have joined up with the Muslims a long time ago. He said, that Sister Donna and Sister Ava, those are some powerful black women. I'm not gassing you up. I don't do that. I'm just telling you what the man said. The power of black women to use positive psychological reinforcement will literally resurrect the dead. And that's what you're witnessing, because we're not playing football or basketball. That's not what we're doing, because you can get on offense and then you can get on defense. We're in a fight where you have to perform offense and defense at the same time. We have to defend the ground that we've gained, but we got to go deep, deep, deep in to get more territory. And the black man has to become territorial, Dr. Ava. And what's doing it is seeing black women who want to inspire us. Sister Donna, if you notice tonight when you mentioned about the title of the show, she immediately gave Brother Cartier, Gulisso, the credit, because she wants to be an honest, dignified black woman. she talked about a couple of months ago where the police stopped her husband, and Sister Donna was not going nowhere. She was there. That the loyalty and the decency and the integrity of black women is what motivates black men to want to build something, to want to do something, to want to live a life or die trying to have something. And I can promise you.
Brother Lewis?
I think he just dropped the mic. He did a Kareem. He just dropped the mic.
Can you hear me?
Well,
can you hear me?
Oh, now
yeah,
we can.
Now.
We lost you.
I'm sorry. I'm deep in the woods, but I have to call the show, and I'm not going to stay on here long, Dr. But I just want y'all to know, Terrence and Elevated Places, we love y'all. We want to fight harder to own some land and own some territories. We want to make black boys great again. And we want to have a real family because, believe it or not, the minister showed us how to be a family. And he showed us how to be a God.
Yes.
We don't have nearly the enemies that he has, and can't nobody stop him. And if we believe in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, can't nobody stop us. So all of the Muslims should be happy, and we should gird up our loins, and we should go out, and we should conquer. For our captain, when I joined the nation, he pointed out to me something that's in the meaning of the FOI. It says establish a beachhead behind enemy lines, and everybody knows about that part, but the next word is then take control. Time for us to take control. There were 460 predominantly majority black cities in 1970. As of 2017, according to the Brookings Institute, there are 1,261. But they are mostly Negro politicians, and we have to go and make them black or replace them, because the question in 2022 is the question that we had when we wrote the Savior's letter, and that is the question of identity, black identity. We need black identity politicians, black identity people in economics, black identity people in social activism, and black identity wives. So we can't marry, well, you understand. So may Allah bless y'all. Thank you, Dr. Ava. Appreciate y'all much.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you.
Very good.
Yes, great separation.
But you know what's interesting, Dr. Ava, you know, as we do this year in review, I really want us to kind of go back and not overlook something that happened this year, and that is I assume the first virtual Savior's Day. I can't say the first, but it was probably one of the first virtual Savior's Day, and part of that virtual Savior's Day was Project Separation. You know, everybody wasn't blessed to come to Chicago for Savior's Day, but we did have Project Separation as part of the Savior's Day event, one of the open plenaries or events, one of the main events that people can watch live. And that was a very beautiful thing to see that at Mosque Maryam at Savior's Day, which, you know, was part of the springboard for all of the other things that went on this year, to all the way down to the mayor and going watching Stonecrest and the Nubian Summit. And I'm just saying that to say that from that, talked about different things happening, and we actually watched in 2021 a lot of things building from Project Separation. We saw land being bought. We not only saw land being bought, purchased, established, and businesses up and running with people coming through. We saw believers buying land, co-opting, and building land. We saw Brother Guys and Brother Patrick and the farmland and the stuff that they had and the different things that were going. So we are actually now, as you said before, when you was going on the city tour, the different tours in person pre-COVID, that, you know, when we were testing the waters, getting the pulse of the people, seeing what you want to do when that
survey is dropped and that question is that you want to stay or go, a lot of those conversations that we were going as you were going across the country on instruction from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we are now seeing those seeds start to take sprout. We're starting to see things grow up. So we're not just only talking about project separation. We are actually now witnessing the manifestation of project separation this year.
That's very powerful. And you're right. We can't overlook the very first virtual Savior's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So we found a way. We found a way to make it happen. And though, you know, as you're saying, we loved coming together physically, but the way the virtual happened, it gave people the ability to really absorb and take in the knowledge and wisdom and understanding and gain so much because you're able to watch this from the privacy of your home or wherever you are, you know, uninterrupted. And there's a whole different type of atmosphere with a live event. And if you're not
right.
a person who's inclined to go back, as you keep telling us, go back to the criterion, you're going to just miss a lot of the essence of what you're getting. That's a great point. We're going to take another caller before we go to our national correspondent, and that is Brother Daryl, who has a comment for us. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Daryl.
Wa alaykum as-salam, beloved. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, praise due to Allah. Happy Savior's Day to the family. Can't wait to
Savior's
Day get here.
That's right.
Yes, my question is, when you spoke about how that thing, because I don't even call her an officer, that shot our young brother, and when you spoke about how they handled the guns, you always wear it on your dominant side. So how can you make a mistake pulling a gun and thinking it's a taser? Number one, you got to pull it from your left. Even if you did make a mistake, you got to pull it from your left. You still got to just take it off of safety. And it's a lightweight gun, I mean, taser, and it's a loud color. So you crying and say, oh, I'm going to jail. All that was cruel hate. So if she's saying I'm going to jail, that's to try to help her in her defense to say that I made a mistake. But they seen through all of that. You make a mistake. It's not real to make a mistake like that. And then after you pulled it, then you shot the brother. And if you didn't want to kill him, why you shoot him in the chest? You know, so
thank you.
All of this
is a bunch of,
yeah. So it's crazy about how they're doing it. Then they got now our babies out here, and our people are so sick. They're gonna let a baby take a shot to take a picture with the superhero. Ain't that sick? You not even paying attention to your babies that you want to let them take a shot to take a picture with the superhero.
Come on,
it's crazy. Our people have lost their mind. And then hearing about this woman putting her cat on the breast, it was bad enough they were taking our babies off the breast and putting their baby, but now you're putting a the cat. They should have thrown her out the plane. That was sick. You know, I can't believe
that.
My brain would
never have imagined that.
Yeah.
Never.
It's sickening. You know, so I just thank Allah for your show. I love you, Sister Ava and Brother Terrence, and give your husband my greetings. I can't wait to Savior's Day. This is one of our most joyful days that's coming because our people are dropping. You know, we just lost one of our ex-captains in Detroit, Brother Roy Muhammad. He passed away. And we lost another pioneer the same week this week. He's going to be there Saturday. He worked in a restaurant, Brother James, I believe. He passed. So, like Brother Tan said, our people are dropping. And I thank Allah for the procedures we go through when we take, before we have prayer, when you're washing your nostrils out three times. That's a blessing because everything is on time.
Yes,
because if you clean your nostrils and your ears, you're pulling up. Allah is God. He's already preparing us through prayer. you know, you're blowing all this extra, whatever it is, in there, out. But like you hit the key word, I don't care what all we take. If we don't repent to Allah, all of that's going out the door, you know. And then they telling us we're not ready. I don't care. We ain't ready. Allah said we're ready. Separate and get away from this beast, because there's no way in the world I want to stay around it. Even if we ain't ready, I want to get away from them, period. We'll make a way. As-salamu alaykum. Love you all. Stay safe and happy safe this day.
Oh, the same to you. And we sure have been on this planet for 76 trillion years without them.
True,
so I think we're
true.
I think we'll survive. Yes, sir. All right. So go ahead, Brother Terrence.
No. I just wanted to thank Brother for mentioning Brother Abdul Muhammad, you know, the minister blessing with Brother Abdul, formerly Brother Roy of Detroit, captain, student captain emeritus, who transitioned, I look at the brother, you know, he was one of those brothers, you know, was always out in the community, was always doing a lot of security on the different people, the Kwame, when he got out. You know, he was always engaged. He was a figure in Detroit, and we know he didn't transition from COVID, but his son did a year ago. So, you know, just to lose one of the pioneers, I would just, you know, I really encourage us to really embrace the believers and embrace one another in the time that we have. Because one of the brother, student minister Ishmael said this past Sunday, which is very key. You know, we say inshallah, everything we should say, if it be God's will, that we see one another tomorrow, the next day, and the next second, that we see each other in the.
Uh-oh. Brother Terrence? Can anyone hear me? Oh, I think Brother Terrence dropped.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, yeah, I'm getting a signal on my screen that Brother Terrence dropped, so we'll have him call back. He'll call back in. And in the meantime, we've been joined on the line by our national correspondent for the Final Call newspaper, Sister Charlene Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, Sister Charlene.
Oh, wow. Alaykum salam, Sister Ava. How are you?
Oh, fine by the grace of Allah and full of humility and gratitude.
Teach all.
What about you?
To Allah. Likewise,
yes,
you know, in prayer, as Brother, right before Brother T.C., Brother Terrence started speaking, and that's right, reflective and prayerful. And I salamu alaykum to your whole panel, everyone, and your guests on this show. It's an honor to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's an honor to have you. And you were a constant contributor. Even before we developed the COVID section, you were writing on the whole spectrum of the vaccine, the virus itself, the vaccine, the political and economic and health issues surrounding it. And we just wanted to get, you know, a little take on you about what stood out the most, or what you would like us to, you know, walk away with from a very, very profound year, to say the least.
Yeah, a deep year, too. Praise be to Allah. Thank you for your question in the name, well, not question, but your direction. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Minister Ava, first and foremost, I still can't believe that in the amount of time that it would normally take people to really learn the science of what all of this COVID and these terms and high scientific medical terms mean, it allows in some way blessed me to be able to grasp it in enough time, as this is happening in real time, right? So, and still learning and still grasping at it, but to be able to have the privilege and honor to be one of the contributors and on this for this many months, you know, going on 2 years, is something that I still am wrapping my head around and trying to process, because I begin by saying that, Minister Ava, because I literally find myself able to answer questions from our people, my family, friends, coworkers, just different people. And I'm going to say coworkers, I mean, of course, not at the final call, but in terms of freelance things that I do. Before, I would be think that I couldn't do that. But because of, number one, the criterion, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan himself, who gave the address on July 2020, July 4th, as well as the unraveling of a great nation that Savior's Day 2020, he laid the groundwork, and he made it so plain, the message from Allah God himself, that helped to put the umbrella over what we were about to experience and are experiencing and seeing with these injections that are being called vaccines. And so what I would like to just impart to us all is that this man and his guidance is so profoundly, absolutely correct that even without understanding, it's like, you know how we're taught in the church when we're growing up, some of us don't question God, you know. It's not coming from that mindset. It's like, look into what Minister Farrakhan has given, not to disprove it, right? Not to say, oh, he's wrong, I'm going to prove him wrong, but go deeper into what he gave us beyond the surface level of it, because every single man of God has said has come to pass in duplicate and triplicate ways in what I'm observing. As one who's been contributing to the final call, covering this from day one, from the very first day, Minister Ava, right down to, look, at this count, and it's in the final call newspaper in the weekly tally that's in the COVID section, 21,000 people approximately have been killed as a result or died after taking these shots. And that's a little reporting, right, Minister Ava? That's less than 1%. There is another tracking service that has higher numbers. These are coming out by whistleblowers. But that's one of the things I would say, is that he said it was death itself, and it is. And now you have, as the COVID session has been pointing out, Minister Ava has written articles, the research team, Dr. Ridgely, have pointed out how the head of Pfizer has come out against it. The Pfizer former chief has come out and said this technology is part of a mass depopulation plot because it doesn't have any other sense. Then you have Dr. Robert Malone, who invented this mRNA technology. He's at the core. That technology is at the core of the Pfizer and Moderna shots, which are the leading ones that are being pushed on people and that are being driven in the, not just the in the U.S., but also the technology has been sent over to Africa and some places in AstraZeneca, and they don't want it. They're sending it back. But Dr. Robert Malone is going hard. Check Twitter. Check him out on his Twitter account, saying that this is not what it's designed to do. It is a human guinea pig experiment. And so there are more people who are raising up about this. But again, we have had this in the criterion. So in my humble opinion, we should not be caught off guard about what we are seeing that's coming across. You know, Minister Ava, in my mind, it's like he spoke on the 20th, on July 4th, 2020, and now all the actors are playing out the script that was given, if that makes sense. And whenever I see something like Dr. Attorney Robert F. Kennedy's book, and you all please, if Ava has not already said it, check it out, the intro, some of it in the final call of this week, The Real Anthony Fauci. What a way to round out the year, right, of dealing and battling with these forces of evil by so pinpointing and calling out this front man, who, by the way, he's still doing interviews, but as someone pointed out to me recently, President Biden in his last address didn't even mention him, because the lies and so much of what they're doing that are counter to righteousness are being exposed. So, you know, I could go on and on, Minister Ava, so I think I better let, if you want to ask me anything about what I said, it's just so much is drumming up in my mind in terms of the lies, the confusion about the shots. The CDC recently reduced the number of days that people have to quarantine if they have had COVID. Why is that? Some are saying it's economic-based. Well, yeah, but also they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
Because it's just a motive to kill people. So it's like, throw this up, throw this up. Let's see if this, will they buy this? Will the sheep buy this? Anything to get us to not hear and obey what the minister is saying, because they're frightening people. They're frightening people to take their jobs. People have been losing their jobs. But you see, let's use Kyrie Irving as an example, our brother with the New York Nets. They pulled him, threatened him. Now they need him and pulled him back. And I said, Kyrie, raised the price on him, you know, since they did you like that. But anyway, Minister Ava, look, don't ask me to speak, because I'm just like full with looking at all of this COVID and this COVID so-called vaccine news, and our people, you know, are just being, you know, done up. There's, Israel has a fourth booster already. There's, and Dr. Anthony Fauci said yesterday, I saw him in an interview, saying that people need to get the booster. You're not fully vaccinated if you don't have the booster. Minister Ava, did you mention that already on Elevated Places, or someone that
may, I don't know if I did tonight, but I know I have. And it's what's so amazing about all this is not Satan, but the people.
The people.
The people allow this.
Come on.
Yep.
That's
he
right.
Called them.
And this,
I called
you know, this is what we're taught, you know, being blind, deaf, and dumb. How do you,
that's right.
Do you know, the House of Quran asks the question, do not men reason? Do not men mind? It's like no accountability.
Yeah, yeah. And who will we blame? Ava, I mean, you know what you're saying. On the one hand, it's like they're coerced. Okay, but at some point now, they're still driving this with all this confusion. It's like Satan will say, I called you and you came, so blame me not.
Right.
I think that's the way the scripture goes. But, you know, we got it in the books. Pull it up. But yeah, it's just, you know what? It's like choosing Barabbas. Man. Now, I know, you know, don't beat me up, you guys. I'm not very, you know, I can't be teaching and all that stuff. What I'm saying is, like, there are different instances of ways that, you know, people will choose these crooked thieves over this very good man who has been a defender, has never strayed us wrong. It breaks my heart to hear people that I know and love, and just people that I don't even know, but I love because they're our people. And I mean, even poor White talk about how they did take this because of something they were going to lose. And some just like, well, you know, it's everywhere and they must be right. And I just, you know, I just hang my head low. I know it, I don't need to, we shouldn't, but it's just because all you have to do is open up and read for yourself and not be afraid. Just, you know, fear God and fear no one else but God. And so I think that also why I love what we see when the final call covers the good works of the believers across the country, like Sister Student Regional Captain Jana in New York and others across the nation, and the FOI serving our people, because when they know that they can have some help, you know, because where are they going to turn? You know, who's there to help them? But also, at the end of the day, it's like, figure it out, because you can't eat if you're dead. And this is a killer.
Amen.
Sure enough. It's a killer.
All right.
And so the depopulation briefs in the COVID section has a lot of the information. But this year in review, you can turn it on, and they're falling apart. Their whole mask, their whole narrative is falling apart. CDC, FDA, they're infighting. They used to have this united front. Just hold on, as Minister Ava and others have said, Brother Ishmael said, Student Minister Ishmael says from the Rasha, hold on. But if you have the knowledge, then that can help strengthen you if you know what's happening. But at the end of the day, trust Farrakhan. Walk with, ride with, follow, listen to Farrakhan. There's nothing else out there for us. They are killing our people wholesale with this so-called vaccine. And Biden is desperate. Yeah, and he's being patriarchal and saying, just cut it out, and it is not the unvaccinated. The vaccine is having an effect, and it's running all of these numbers up. So I'm done.
Yes, sir.
I'm done.
All right, beloved.
Thank you.
Well, that's an excellent, excellent report. We appreciate you immensely.
That's right.
Hard work, dedicated work, and it's been consistent throughout this whole pandemic. So thank you, Sister Charlene Muhammad.
Alhamdulillah.
All right, beloved. Yes,
and Dr. Ava?
All right. Yes, sir, Brother Terrence.
No, one of the things that she was saying that, you know, she was almost didn't want to get a preach about Barabbas and, you know, them letting him go and then not letting Jesus go. Thing about it, Barabbas was a murderer and a killer. So they let a killer go. So they allow the killers of our children, our people with this vaccination, they allow the killer to go because the thing is, we'll let the killer to do what the killer does, but we can't let, listen to Farrakhan, because Farrakhan is trying to change our whole way of life. So that was the thing about Jesus. So, okay, we can deal with a murder. We can stop that and do whatever, or we don't have to listen to vaccination, but we let this one have to listen to him. It's not only just going to be vaccinated. He's just going to change. We can't drink. We can't smoke. We can't do all of this. We got to eat healthy. No, we want to do what we want to do. We want to party. We want to go here. We want to do this.
Uh-huh.
And that's the thing. So we'll accept the murderer and the killer, but we're not going to accept a person who is trying to change our whole way of living, our whole way of life, and to accept a new thinking, a new mind, and a new reality. We don't want that person.
Well, I'm glad you said that because it does answer to a large degree the sort of rhetorical question I'm raising about how do you let, as Sister Charlene just brought up, here's a man that can come in your face and say you need a fourth shot. A fourth. 1 year ago this month, they started deploying the vaccine. They had said that as soon as the vaccines came out and you got your shot, life would return to, quote, normal. So people submitted to it by the hundreds of millions, only for a few, to this experimental vaccine. Let us not forget that. This is an experimental product.
Exactly.
So 20,000 dead people later, 1 million heart attacks and heart disease and paralysis and miscarriages later, you come back and tell the people, oh, my bad, the virus only lasts so long. And see, that's, so we need to shoot you up again. That's what the minister was making reference to when he told the enemy in the Criterion, you will not conquer this virus.
That's right.
We took that to mean the virus was our biggest problem, and it is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But we
That's
took
right.
it, we didn't understand he's talking to the enemy.
Come on.
So we're like, oh, my God, the minister said this will never be conquered, so I'm just going to move under my bed. No, he told Satan, you
That's
will
right.
not conquer it. Okay? And he won't. His whole system is coming down. And
oh,
and the more it eludes him, because what the minister said, the mutations, you don't know this virus. You think you do, but you don't. Because, see,
That's
there's
right.
the one they made and the one they thought it is, but the one, the pestilence is from the wheel. Okay? He said this came from heaven. And he told us later in the executive council, he said, when I said heaven, I meant the wheel.
Come on.
So if it came from the wheel and you're a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, then why are you acting crazy?
Say that.
If
say
it
that.
Came from our God, then let's do the things he gave us to do. And as you said, Brother Terrence, if we're not in the living a funky, filthy, degenerate life, okay, if we're obeying the laws of Islam and if we're following the measures we've been given, and we have lost people, and the minister's already said everyone that's lost during this time is a martyr.
That's
because
right.
They lost their life during the transition of two realities, a universal change, one world
Come
going
on.
Out and another one coming in. They're not dead, but we perceive not, because these are names that live on eternally. None of us is going to be here physically forever. Not one of us is going to remain. The self-created God, his flesh person, had to die. He caused death. He made a law. And he obeys his law. He said in the Holy Quran, I give life and I cause death. So
right.
The third dimensional physical self, it's finite. We all arrived here physically on a day certain and a time certain. So if you have a definite beginning, you're going to have a definite end. But the spiritual self doesn't have a beginning. So it doesn't have an end. And our effort is to connect with the God. So, yeah, they plan and Allah plan, and Allah is the best of planners. So, you know, how many shots do they have to come and tell you? So Fauci, Satan himself, just sits up there in his glasses and suit. Well, you're just going to have to take another. How long are you going to let him tell you that? How crazy
That's right.
are we? He's wicked. We can't fathom the depths of Satan. So we ought to expect him to come that way.
Come on.
But when are the people going to rise up and say, you sound like Scarface. You know, aren't you high? Are you crazy?
Right.
We're done. We're done with this needle. You don't know what you're doing. We don't even recognize that. Even if you think he had a good intention, he obviously is incompetent. Because you're telling me you've been an immunologist, infectious disease specialist for 50 years, and you didn't know the virus was going to mutate. You didn't know that when you make a vaccine, an artificial thing, it doesn't adapt to a new variant. How is an artificial gene therapy going to adjust itself? It's not alive.
But
the human immune system, the God-given immune system from Allah, it recognizes and adapts to every variant of the original virus.
That's right.
Now you got this monoclonal antibodies. So why would we run to get that when that came out of a lab? The monoclonal antibodies are a laboratory, artificial, synthetic version of what your body does when you contract a virus. And by the way, where's the herd immunity? We sit and let them redefine that in front of our face. How in God's name is a vaccine herd immunity? Herd immunity
is also known as survival of the fittest.
Mm.
Every pathogen eventually dies out because of a certain portion of the population beating it down, where it's no longer able to effectively transmit. So it runs out of host and it dies. But this vaccination stopped that from happening. So now they tell you herd immunity, and to let them shoot you up and then tell you, oh, you tested positive. You need to, oh, you in the NFL, you the star quarterback for the Miami Dolphins? Too bad. You got to go home. But you shot me up twice. Yeah, but it's wearing off. We got another one, though. It's what you said, though, Brother Terrence. We've rejected God's servant.
That's right.
That's why. That answers the question why. But anyway, now here we go. Now we're on the other end of the time frame, running out of time. We got
all right.
We got Brother Hoyle. Brother Hoyle on for the last episode.
All praises to Allah. I'm gonna throw in a little icing on the cake and a little something.
Yes,
y'all made the flour and all of that. So I'm gonna bring in the icing and maybe a few little candy bars or some bean pies or something to add to. But beautiful job, and Sister Charlene, excellent job you do in the final call. And Sister Ava and Dr. Ridgely, excellent. This is needed. I wanted to bring some more information, family. Like you said, Sister Ava, this year is unraveling of the nation and Satan being exposed, and also a year of historic and extreme weather. We broke all kinds of records of the weather. And, you know, with the tornadoes, the droughts, the also the flooding, the snow in Texas. And they were talking about that last night. I had to go to New Orleans yesterday, and they were on, you know, real late at night, George Norrie will start talking some truth, you know. And he said, well, what's going on with this weather? I want to call in so bad, but, you know, he got all this, you know, white, you know, sometimes he'll lay some truth out there. But I want to give you all this news here to add to the COVID section, Sister Charlene and Dr. Ava and Sister Pam and Brother Terrence. Did you know they had in CNN that it said the most Omicron cases have been mild, but they admitted most would be the people are vaccinated people. Okay, now I'm going to add something else. Do you know that 1,000 Marines and over 1,000 Marines and over 19,000 Navy sailors have been kicked out of service for refusing the vaccine? This was a top news, too. I don't know if they put it out there, but I heard this last night and I looked it up on the news. And this, too, Kathy Hochul, she's the Democratic governor for New York. Now, Sister Ava, on January 5th, the legislative session began. These are some of the bills they're going to try to pass because, you know, once they do something in New York, it goes all over the world. Now, listen to this. It's the first bill. I'm going to go through it right quick because I know we're hurting for time. 378. This is forced COVID shot mandates to attend school. The second one is force all adult records into a state database. The third one is forced COVID shots for college. The fourth one is forced flu shots to attend school and preschool daycare. The fifth one is eliminate religious exemptions for work in college. The sixth one is eliminate parents' consent to shots when a child reaches 14 years of age. The seventh one is eliminate parents' right to consent to an STD shot for children of any age. And Assembly Bill 8416 allows the governor to imprison without trial anyone she considers a threat to public health. And then this is the upcoming bill to eliminate people with access to health insurance. But all of these are on the table this coming January 5th, family. So I just found this out, too. So now, you know, whatever starts in New York, so Brother Reuben, and, you know, they're already draconian and tyranny in Australia. You got to have a COVID passport just to go outside. So they want to get to this, and Biden is so upset. And, you know, they're admitting that most of these people that are catching the Omicron and the Delta are vaccinated. The spike protein is going wild. And also, we have to admit they put the chemtrails up there. Even though, like you said, Sister Ava, this Omicron may be, it just may be a small cold, but the pestilence from heaven is real. And we've been given the antidote, which is righteousness, and the guidelines of, you know, the vitamins, Paxmune, the ivermectin, and all the other stuff. You said, Sister Ava, you can take all that stuff if you want to, but if you're wicked and your heart is wicked and you're knowing, other than the helping the minister and hurting the nation, it don't mean a dang thing. So
that's right.
I know I'm taking up a little time. And also the athletes, a lot of athletes are falling out, Sister Ava. It was a basketball player in Atlanta had some heart problems, and he had to quit. And it's a few more soccer players are falling out. And it's a few soccer players that have fell out. I'm going to get a list of all of these athletes. But and then also, I know Sister Charlene talked about it, that the CDC admits that the PCR tests are flawed. So we know that, what's that chemical?
Yeah,
I did a big article on that. Right, you did a big article. That chemical they put on the end of that swab, I tell people if they got to take a test,
ethylene
take the saliva test. The ethylene oxide, right. And they're coming, you know, Biden is talking about giving out free tests. I don't trust that no more than
They give out free, because what I didn't cover in the article, because it was still outstanding research to be done, is there are scientists who are saying that the same nanoparticles in the vaccine are on the tip of that swab test.
Brother Larry, this was a while back, last year sometime, they did a test on those tests in Greenwood, Mississippi. Those tests were sent by the government, and they had COVID in them. Brother Larry in Greenwood.
The spike protein.
I mean, the spike protein, right. So,
it's a secondary approach. As Dr. Akili Muhammad said, when have you ever seen national testing? And when have people been told to test for something even when they don't have any symptoms? When? When in the nation's history has this ever happened? And the biggest point of all, though, it doesn't differentiate COVID-19 from flu and cold.
Right.
So now they're saying, there's millions of cases every day. Yeah, because it's flu season. It's cold season. But anyway, I got to let you go. We're running out of time, but I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, and thank you. Happy New Year.
Call.
Happy New Year.
All right.
Happy New Year.
Oh, Happy New Year to you too, beloved. Happy New Year. Happy Savior's Day.
And all that.
I have a feeling 2022 is going to be, and it's on the number 6 also.
Yeah, it's not going to be a remix. It's going to be something. 2022
is going to be its own. You know, Sister Donna Muhammad reminded me today that in the labor meeting last September, the minister said, this is going to end soon. And see, to me, as I thought over what she reminded me that he said, and he did say that, which we seem to have forgotten, because when he speaks, we really don't process what he's saying, but I reflected on her reminding me of that. And I remember it reminded me of his statement that I found so profound. He said, some of you will be in the hereafter and won't even know it. Ooh.
Come on.
And I said, you know, are we able to even discern when it's over? Because we're not truly of the faithful.
We tend to make white people's problems our problems. Like Malcolm used to say, the slave would say, is we sick, master? So that's just something for us all
to
reflect on.
No, that's real.
He said it's going to end soon, but who does it end for? You know, like Stevie Wonder said in Superstition, if you believe in things you don't understand, you suffer. And too many of us believe in Dr. Fauci and Joe Biden and white America. So it's just something to reflect on. But we want to get a couple more callers. Here's someone we haven't heard from in ages. Out of North Carolina, Sister Darcelle is on the line to close down 2021.
To close down 2021. I'm going to
This is our last program.
Habargani. And this is Nia Purpose.
Yeah.
Oh, my. I had an opportunity on Tuesday to listen to Sister Pamela, and she had an excellent program about foster care, and it was spoken about today on public television how our children are being like cattle slavery to white folks who don't have income, so they take our children into their homes and they're getting paid to take care of black children when it should be kinfolks taking care of having that money distributed to kinfolks to take care of our children if we find there's some family deficits and not taking care of our people. But I also wanted
all
to bring
due to Allah.
Thank you. I love that program. You had such powerhouses on there. I don't know if you're aware that in North Carolina, the Wilmington Journal, which is a black-owned newspaper, that publisher died. And at times she had quotes from The Final Call in her paper, and her name is Mary Alice Gervais Thatch, and I just wanted to share that with the family. And I am just so excited to be about being a part of the voices that you present every Thursday. Sometimes I have an opportunity to listen while studying for this architectural and sustainability degree, but I love you all and Sister Rona for being an executive director and just coordinating everything, and all of you. I don't want to make anyone feel less than excellent, and that pro forma is worth the price of admission because I've been taking that drug. I'm telling you, ouchie Fauci, I don't do that now. But I have taken for diabetes, and I just have to follow the final call and for how to eat to live. And Sister Charlene Marie Muhammad has a new book out as well that I've just purchased about healthy eating. So I'll let it go. Alaikum salam. Mic drop. Love you all.
Oh, thank you. It's so good to hear your voice. Oh, praise be due to Allah. Oh, yes, sir. And so we're running out of time, but we got to give a minute or two, and he only takes that to our young brother.
That's right.
Brother Kareem. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you?
Fine, sir. And how are you?
I'm good. We're in the new year, and they're claiming how the reason things haven't gone back to normal is because the unvaccinated people. But what about the vaccine itself?
Hey.
I mean, without all of the actual medical facts of why you shouldn't, right? There's a logical part of it doesn't even seem safe on the surface.
Come on, come on.
This vaccine I've seen more of than anything else. I could memorize every single commercial that they have for the vaccine because they play it so frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it's not safe.
Right.
Barely a year. Barely.
Come on, talk about it.
That's right.
And so we're just going to ignore the fact that it usually takes 20 years. And
come
we're going to go
ahead on,
and get this vaccine. Assalamu alaikum.
Drop the mic again. There it is.
Wa alaikum salam, and a happy new year to you, beloved brother Kareem. I mean, he never fails to nail it.
That's right, point blank.
And has he reminded us, you know, these things take 10 to 20 years to develop. Now, how quickly does the booster shot get developed in?
Listen,
I mean, the primary vaccine is experimental, and yet within a couple of days they come out with the booster. And if they can't identify, as I had in the article on the PCR swab test, if they haven't isolated COVID-19, and you can look up any scientific research you want, they have not isolated successfully COVID-19. They don't have a test for it. The test they're giving everybody was developed from a cold virus. And as one of the scientists said, if they know they're not picking up COVID-19, then what are they doing when they give this test? See, it's not what they're picking up, it's what they're dropping off in your body.
That's all right. That's all right.
As they do this. But as Brother Kareem just said, how do you buy into this?
Mm.
So if you couldn't identify and isolate the virus, how did you identify Omicron? And how do you come up with a vaccine for a new variant that just popped up a few weeks ago, and all of a sudden you got a booster shot for it? You sound insane.
That's right.
Well, they are.
That's right.
But anyway, Brother Terrence, believe
we're
it or
there
not,
again. We're there.
Yeah, we've run out of time, and so I barely have enough time to thank you, my illustrious co-host. You have been wonderful all these years, and we look forward to a new year together. Sister executive producer, and my sister girlfriend, Sister Rona Muhammad, Sister attorney Pamela Muhammad, our brilliant attorney, and of course Sister Donna Muhammad, Brother Louis Ali, Brother Kareem, Brother Daryl, the regular callers, and all of you who listen in loyally every week and always make Thursday night not only beneficial to us from a point of view of inspiration, but you make it so enjoyable. May Allah bless each and every one of us with a safe and productive 2022, and we look so forward to hearing from God's man in our midst, the voice of God in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. May Allah bless all of us with love.
Sister Ava,
yes, ma'am.
Can we thank
yes,
you?
Yes, ma'am.
Can we please, Brother Terrence and Sister Pamela and Sister
yes.
Donna, can we please take the time to thank you for for all that you do, both seen and unseen, for all
that's
the
right.
work, all of the sacrifice, and the obedience. We want to thank you.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, definitely.
Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for
hallelujah.
Everything you do, Sister Ava.
Love you all.
Love you.
I
yes,
love,
I love you, too.
Lake's love.
Wow.